Morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And so let us all rejoice in being together in worship this day. So welcome to those in person and to those joining us on streaming. A few announcements before we begin our worship. So today, after our worship, there will be coffee hour on Zoom. So please do switch over to the Zoom link to join in on that coffee hour time. We will also then be having Sunday school at 11:15. For those families involved in Sunday school, please do check to make sure you've registered and follow the link provided. That will be done through the Crossroads Camp program. Confirmation will also be on Zoom for 7th and 8th graders at 11 o'clock this morning with me. So please, if you're in that, make sure to log on if you plan to be in the Sunday morning group. This afternoon, we will celebrate with our 3rd graders in presenting them with Bibles. That is normally done as part of our Sunday morning worship, but this year we will be having an in-person in the Fellowship Hall short presentation service for them. Please note also in the coming week, our Monday morning Bible study does continue on Zoom. Our Thursday morning tea and talk is available. So please do, if you are available, join in for one of those groups. And plan next week, we will have an outdoor worship. This may be the last one we do for this fall. So 5 o'clock outside next Sunday, not this week. For those who are in person or might be coming in person the next few weeks, you might get a little chilly, and if so, I apologize. Please do plan for that the next few weeks. The air conditioning is the most effective way we can get fresh air into the building, and so we will be using that as long as we possibly can. We're not going to freeze you. We will eventually switch, but we are going to keep it going as long as we can, as long as the weather is good enough. Those are the announcements I have for the week. And so now, let us prepare our hearts for worship. I invite you to rise as you are able. Returning to the waters of baptism, let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors or families or friends as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us. Free us from the urge to speak with haste, offending those we fail to fully understand. Let our words always honor your wondrous love, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
us pray. Lord of the feast, you have prepared a table before all peoples and poured out your life with abundance. Call us again to your banquet. Strengthen us by what is honorable, just, and pure, and transform us into a people of righteousness and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite the congregation to be seated. It is time for children. Good morning, children. It is good to have this time with you. So let's review some of the things we've learned. So the Lord be with you. And also with you is what we say. And then we also learned how when we make the sign of the cross like this, then on ourselves, we remember that God is high and low, far and near. So those are some things that we do during worship. Most of those things come when we're ready to pray. So how do you pray? What do you do when you pray? There's lots of things we can do. Many people will bow their head. So they put their head down and maybe close their eyes. And that's the way, first of all, we kind of honor someone by looking down and bowing. We show that we are humble. But the other thing is, by closing our eyes, it means we're not paying attention to other things. It helps us to avoid being distracted, because it's easy to get distracted. The same thing with our hands. A lot of people will fold their hands like this when they pray. Really, that's because I know if I'm just sitting like this, I will start doing something with my hands. Maybe you're like that too. So it's not a bad idea. You just kind of fold your hands together and hold them like this. That way they're not wiggling around. But you don't have to do that. There are lots of ways we can pray. We can use our bodies in many ways. When I'm leading, I pray, I put my hands like this. And you can go like this then. Because if someone gives you a gift, what do you do to take that present? Well, you put your hands out like this. When we pray, we're talking to God, and it's like we get the gift back of God listening to us. So we're ready to receive blessings. So I like to do this when I pray too. Put my hands like this, ready to catch God's grace. So there's lots of ways to pray. Normally in worship, we'll either put our hands like this or like this. You can choose. You can do it your way. But this is a big part of our worship, is to have that time where we're focused on God. So when you pray this week, figure out, try a couple of different ones. Try it like this. Try it like this. There are lots of other ways, but those are good ones to start with. So remember, each day with your family, before grace, and maybe before bed, a couple of times during the day, take a few moments and say a prayer thanking God for the day. Thank you so much.
The first reading is from Isaiah, chapter 25. After a hymn of praise, acknowledging God as a shelter for the poor, the prophet portrays a wonderful victory banquet at which death, which in ancient Canaan was depicted as a monster swallowing up everyone, will be swallowed up forever. The prophet urges celebration of this victory of salvation. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The palace of aliens is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat. When the blast of the ruthlessness was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of the aliens like the heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces and the disgrace of his people, and he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The word of the Lord.
My shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, the tide waters by. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make. Within the paths of righteousness, e'en for his own name's sake. Within the paths of righteousness, e'en for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark vale, yet will I fear no ill. For thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. For thou art with me, and staff me comfort still. My table thou hast richly spread in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. My head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. And in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be.
The second reading is from Philippians chapter 4. Though writing from prison and facing an uncertain future, Paul calls on the Philippians to rejoice and give thanks to God no matter what the circumstance. God's peace is with us and binds together our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, especially when things around us do not seem peaceful. My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 22. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot. Throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.' This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." Have you ever gone to a party where you knew that you had misjudged the situation? where you knew as soon as you got in the door that you were underdressed, and you spent the whole time feeling embarrassed, awkward. I certainly have. The time that I remember most clearly doing that, I was in college. Now, I'd gone to a Catholic college, and so I frequently volunteered at some of the local soup kitchens and hunger programs through the school. And the coordinator for those programs was a nun. We'll call her Sister Sue. And so I had gotten to know Sister Sue a bit through participating in those programs. I can't say I knew her well, though, but I knew her enough that in my sophomore year, I was invited to the service where she made her final vows to the order, to commit to that order for life. I was acquainted with many of the people who would be there, but not close with any of them, but I decided to go ahead anyway. I didn't think much about it, just pulled on some jeans, threw a t-shirt on, and headed to the service. But as soon as I got in the car with the people I was riding with, I had a sense something was wrong. They were wearing fancier clothes than a typical college outing. It had never occurred to me that this was sort of like Sister Sue's wedding. I had never seen her wear anything other than jeans and a t-shirt either. As I walked in, though, there she was in an evening gown. Looking around, I saw that most of the men were wearing suits or even tuxedos. It was a formal affair. I knew at that moment I had not understood what kind of event this was, and I was not prepared for it. Now, after the service, there was a huge reception in the church building. There were fresh fruits, cheeses, fancy hors d'oeuvres, even an ice sculpture. It was magnificent. And I was totally welcome to take part in that wonderful reception. I had been invited to be there, after all. It was there for the taking, but I couldn't do it. Mostly, I just stood on the wall, hoping no one would notice me and hoping to get out of there as soon as possible. I was there for that reception, but I missed the party. Now, I wasn't the only one not dressed up. In fact, many of the people who were there from the soup kitchens didn't even own dressy clothes. Still, I did not want to be seen so inappropriately dressed. There was a wonderful party going on, but I felt miserable, lonely, and embarrassed. I had eliminated myself from the joyful experience. It was my insecurity, my sense of not belonging, my fear at being ridiculed that prevented me from participating in that party. Sister Sue was not someone who cared how I was dressed. For her, all really were welcome. But my unwillingness to believe the invitation caused me to exclude myself from the joy that was around me. In the parable we hear today, Jesus tells of a king who plans a wedding feast, but all of those who have been invited refuse to come. In fact, they mistreat the servants of the king and even kill them. And so the king sends soldiers after the people who rejected his invitation. Meanwhile, the king has everyone on the streets invited into the banquet. Yet once the banquet starts, the king finds a man not dressed for a wedding and has that man cast out into the darkness. This is a challenging parable. I would think that we want to hear in this parable the invitation to all the people on the streets, and that is an image of God's grace. But then, why did those originally invited not come? And why does the king cast out the man for not wearing a wedding robe? If all are invited in, why do you cast out for not being dressed appropriately? Does God really invite just to cast out if you don't follow all the rules, all the expectations? Does that mean the kingdom of heaven is a place not of invitation, but of judgment? I suggest that this parable is one where we need to wonder, where is God in this parable? Now, sometimes the image of the king might represent God in Jesus' parables, but often not. Often God is found in unexpected places. Compare this parable of the feast to the feast image that Isaiah presents, the image of God's feast that we heard this morning. Isaiah says that God's feast is a refuge for the poor, of wondrous things for all people, that will take away the disgrace of all the people of the earth. Isaiah's image of God's feast is a blessing to all people. The banquet in Jesus' parable is not a blessing to all people. It's a curse for many. So I don't think that Jesus intends this parable of the wedding feast to be an image of God's feast. Instead, I think that it's a parable about the pettiness of human ways. I think it's a parable about a vain king who throws a big party and expects all of the most important people to be present. The other nobles were more interested in humiliating that king than in celebrating, and so refused to show up. And the king responds with wrath. So then the king invites everyone that he can so that the party looks full and impressive. It's a facade of joy, not an act of grace. It's all about appearances. That's why the king becomes enraged again when he spies a man without the proper robe on. It destroys the illusion of the grandeur of everything, of the perfection of this moment, of it being appearing to be wondrous. It was typical of the time for the host to provide the wedding robes for the guests. So the man not wearing the robe was intentionally rejecting playing the part of propping up the king's ego. The parable then addresses the ways that we humans prefer pretense to reality, the illusion of power and worth over against legitimate care and acceptance of others, of honestly celebrating and mourning the ups and downs of life, of truly connecting. Isaiah shows us that the feast of the kingdom is marked by true care and concern, not preoccupation with appearances. It is marked by caring about the disgrace of others, the neediness of people, of ridding the world of the shroud of striving for vanity and appearances that in the end only bring animosity and wrath. The kingdom feast instead brings forth life-giving connection, true joy. This is God's salvation. So where is God in Jesus' parable? I would suggest that it is the man who doesn't wear the robe. The man rejects the charade of human pomposity, rejects playing the game to soothe the delusionally proud king's ego. I suggest that Jesus is talking about himself here, as one who comes in from the outside and rejects the games of the powerful, who is then himself rejected by the powerful for it, for showing through their illusions. Jesus is talking about his upcoming appearance before Caiaphas and Pilate, the men of power of his time, men who know the games of appearances and politics and cannot possibly understand Jesus' witness to the kingdom as authentic embrace of one another. And so before whom Jesus remains silent, just like the man in this parable remains silent before the king. There's no use arguing. The witness has been made. Jesus, along with the man in the parable, stands beside the weak, the poor, those who despair. He shows them that God's banquet is for them. It includes all with true compassion. And so too for us. We all easily get distracted by the ways of the world that focuses our attention on appearances rather than on true relationship. We get caught up in the games of looking good before others, of showing off our successes and hiding our failures, of defending why our actions are right rather than honestly admitting to our weakness. We know very quickly when we have misread a situation and will be ridiculed for it, and we quickly hide that. That was me at Sister Sue's vows. I was caught up in the appearances and on not making a fool of myself. I was ashamed of failing to understand the situation. I was guilty of caring more about looking good than enjoying the moment. I cared more about my sense of acceptance rather than the true acceptance that was being offered. And in doing that, I removed myself from a feast that I was invited to be part of, a feast that truly was for all, that was opened to every kind of person available. Anyone who was at that feast was the kind of person moved by compassion and not out to judge me for how I was dressed. Sure, some of them had gowns and tuxes. Others had recently been living on the streets and only had a few sets of clothes. All were together at the party. It was a glimpse of the heavenly feast where all are cared for and all were included. But I cared more about not looking foolish wearing jeans and a t-shirt. I rejected the grace of the invitation. I was the person invited but who refused to show up, just like the petty nobles in the parable. I was physically there, but I wasn't present. I was thinking this was the party of the king, the party of the world, the way that things work that we normally think of, when in fact, it was the party that God throws. In the parable, the man without the robe is thrown to the outer darkness, to the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yet Isaiah tells us that this is precisely where God's feast is located. God will wipe the tears from their eyes. God will be with those in distress. God is a refuge for those who are poor. Jesus comes to the human party and gets himself thrown out, showing us the way to get to God's party. To follow Jesus, then, is to realize that our pretensions of looking good get in our way. Following Jesus means following him to where God's party is at, where the world would never think to look. Found in the consoling of those left out by the human party. Found in those who are focused on compassion rather than appearance. Found on the outside of the parties of the powerful. So come. Let Jesus show us the mirage of our human pretensions, of the ways we seek to puff ourselves up at the expense of others. Let Jesus lead us out of those vanity parties and into the authentic feast of God, the true feast of compassion and grace, the one on the edges of the forgotten. Come, let's follow Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand as you're able. With confidence in God's great mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray for those convalescing, homebound, and all affected by isolation, for our first responders, military members and their families, doctors, nurses, medical technicians seeking a cure, all essential workers, those working tirelessly serving their neighbors and keeping us safe. We pray particularly today for Brian Schultz, Sue Haubecker, the Nices, Denise Logan, and for those we name now silently in our hearts or aloud on our lips. Bring healing to all and give us hope in the promise of new and eternal life, where pain and suffering will be no more.
Our silent response today is, hear our prayer. Gracious host, fill your church with a spirit of joyous hospitality. We pray for bishops, teachers, church leaders, and all children of God as they invite others to your table of boundless grace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious host, as creation waits with eager longing for redemption, protect your creatures that are mistreated. Restore valleys, mountains and pastures, and still and running waters. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious host, as you set a table in the presence of enemies, so bless the efforts of diplomats, international peace workers, and world leaders who navigate conflict. May they proceed with dialogue and understanding so that justice and peace prevails. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious host, let your gentleness be known among those who are weary or ill. Strengthen doctors, medical care workers, and caretakers who see to their needs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious host, when we are quick to judge outward appearance, remind us how you clothe all in your mercy. We pray for ministries that provide needed clothing and other personal care assistance in this community. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious host, as we remember those who have died and are gathered at the heavenly banquet, comfort us with your presence. Assure us of your peace at all times. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Listen as we call on you, O God, and enfold in your loving arms all for whom we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us now share a sign of peace with one another. Let us also remember during this time that part of our worship is our offering. So let us offer those to God. And now let us use the words of the Lord's Prayer to pray to God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. receive the benediction. Rooted and built up in him and abound in thanksgiving. And the blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
There are a couple reminders. Please take your bulletin with you as you depart the sanctuary by any rear door. Observe social distancing and move to the parking lot where you can safely greet each other outside. Go in peace. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.